knowing God through the laws of health. After God had created man, he looked him over and saw that everything he had made was very good. Man was in perfect health. Every system of his body was functioning to the ideals that God had set up. His skeleton, his muscles, his organs, his blood, all the systems were go. He was very good. Then the Lord informed him of what he must do to maintain. He must eat, he must drink. And at the end of the week, God says, you've got to take one day off to worship, to recreate, and rest. Here is the ideal program, the divine purpose, carefully demonstrated in Genesis 1 and 2. How can we know God through the laws of health? Unfortunately, part number one says, people forgot God's law. As we look at the history of mankind, the regulations of diet were soon superseded. Man began to kill to eat. Man began to ferment juices to drink. Man broke the laws of ideal family living. Bigamy, polygamy entered the world. The laws of God were forgotten. Part number one calls attention to the fact that the only way to maintain health is to get back to the original laws. Don't forget the laws that God has given us that are part of our being. Now let's review what we studied in the lesson on law. Law describes perfect relationships that love has made. There is a relationship between my digestive processes and the food I put in and ask them to digest. Let me illustrate from an automobile. I have a car that needs gasoline. What would happen if I said, diesel is cheaper, I'm going to fill up with diesel? The digestive system of that car is not structured to digest diesel, so I'll get problems. And so it is with the human anatomy. My stomach is not geared to digest flesh meat. It might do its best to adapt itself, but it wasn't designed for that purpose. And so I get trouble with my digestive tract. And that's one illustration of how we can break relationships. My lungs have been made to use clear air. I can live in a fog, smog, evil-smelling environment. Or I can live in the country. What am I doing to my lungs by forcing them to inhale material for which they were not designed? So I can break the laws. My muscles were made to work so much. I can overwork. I can destroy them. So I can overeat, I can overindulge, I can overwork, I can do all sorts of things that break the law that God has given to define the relationships of every part of my body to every other part of my body. If I love myself, as God wants me to love myself, I will not break the laws of health. Part number two. The law of activity and growth. If I don't move my muscles, I won't be able to move my muscles. I saw a sadhu many years ago when I was a young lad in India, who for some reason or other had decided to clench his fist and hold his hand straight up above his shoulder. He could no longer bring his arm down, and his fingernails were sticking in the palms of his hand. What he didn't use, he couldn't use after a time. He couldn't open his hand, and he couldn't bring his arm down from the vertical position in which he put it. So God took man, gave him work to do, gave him activity to do. It was something he needed to do, to exercise in order to live. Let's never forget, what you don't use, you lose. And make sure that in the activity program, day by day, whatever suits us best, we are exercising to maintain all systems functioning to the best. Part number 3, the law of rest and restoration. The heart pumps and rests. We take a breath and we rest. We should exercise our muscles in our daily work and then rest. We should carry out our tasks for 6 days and rest the 7th day. This rhythm of labor and rest and restoration is written across our anatomy. It's written across nature. Nothing goes without resting. Somebody told me that the valves in the automobile engines that we see by the thousand around us have a moment to cool and rest when they close. This is a principle that we should never forget. We need to rest in order to be restored. Now let's analyze how we are resting. If we are indulging in activities that lift our blood pressure, that are too exciting, many competitive sports do just that. If we are indulging in rest by observing television that is a total waste of time, we may actually be injuring ourselves. And the rest is no longer restoration. It doesn't restore. It doesn't build. It only pulls down. So we should think through very carefully as intelligent Christian adults how we are treating our bodies, these machines for living in, so fearfully and wonderfully made by our Creator, so that we can maintain our health and vigor and activity of mind and body to the optimum. Part number 4, balance and regularity. A fanatic is a man or a woman with a one-track mind. All they do is one thing. Balance is needed, not overdoing in any way. Regularity with enough, not too little, not too much, is the way we should function in whatever we do, in resting, in working, in sleeping, in talking, in studying. There must be balance and regularity. When we take our meals, the meals should be regular. The body gets to function. We should go to sleep at the same time and get up at the same time. We should eat at the same times every day, so that the functions of our bodies may be brought into line. We should exercise and rest. Enough, not too much, not too little. This balance not only affects our bodies, but also affects our minds. And that man or a woman who regulates his life habits with great care and intelligence will be able to think much better. And the whole purpose of this kind of healing is in order that we might recognize the temptations of Satan and that we might meet the temptations of Satan by the use of all the resources that have been given to us by our Lord and Savior. We will be more successful Christians if we are more healthful, balanced, regular, restored Christians. Part number 5. Cleanliness, hygiene. Cleanliness of mind, cleanliness of blood, cleanliness of sin, cleanliness of environment. We've got to keep our thinking pure. What do we think of? When we are pulled by temptation in impure lines, let's pull away from it. Let's ask God for abilities to concentrate so that our minds can be pure. And then we eat so that our blood can be pure. We bathe so that our bodies can be pure. And we live in homes that are clean. Part number 6, the law of self-control. The mind is to control the body. The mind is to marshal the systems. The mind is to be in control. So when we say talk about self-control, we mean that we must do everything by thinking, by living, by planning. We must devise. We read the Bible, we read the Spirit of Prophecy, we form clear concepts of how we are to act. And this is self-control, moderation. We don't allow one part of us to be carried away. Our emotions, our social life, our gluttony, our overindulgence in work, all must be brought into captivity to the will of God that controls our minds. And thus we become clearly knowledgeable as to what God wants us to be in the realm of the physical and the mental.